And good morning, NASCAR fans. Welcome to Green White Checkered here on ESPN Radio. PJ Zucco, Brandon Bain here with you as we get set for another big weekend in NASCAR for the Cup Series. Looking forward to a great race at Richmond later today, a track that always provides a ton of excitement. And of course, catch up about last week's huge race and weekend at Martinsville for the Cup Series and Xfinity Series there from Martinsville. But before we get into it too far, I wanted to mention, yes, PJ Zucco, Brandon Bain here with you once again. Dan Folds not on the show this week, and I'll call it an indefinite hiatus from Green White Checkered moving forward for Dan. He has his own boating business, and in the past, in the recent weeks and months, business has really picked up. So moving forward on Rubbin' and Grubbin', it's just going to be Brandon there on Wednesday nights, and here on Green White Checkered, it's going to be Brandon and myself. But wanted to thank Dan for sure for the year of great work that he's put in here on Green White Checkered, kind of giving the new fans side of things as he's really gotten into NASCAR over the past few years. And not only that, but also I think gave great insight, information, history of things that he'd learned about NASCAR over the past few years, and always updated us on those things and gave a great opinion on that side of things. And of course, wanted to mention too, spots always open, Dan. If you find a week you're not that busy and you want to come on Green White Checkered here, man, just let me know, and that third spot's always open for you, as I'm sure it is there on Rubbin' and Grubbin' as well. But Brandon, Dan, not only a great job with us, but also a great friend there as well, and he certainly put in a ton of good work for us here on Green White Checkered over the past year or so.
Yeah, I tell you, it's a, you know, his business, man. He started up his own little boat tour service, you know, doing trips over to Dofusky or around a historic skidaway, you know, or just a day out with the family on the water, man. So big shout out to Dan on that. Hope everything picks up even more than what it already has, and nothing but success. And yeah, same thing with Green White Checkered, man. I missed him up there on that, and completely understand it. You know, finances are definitely something, and when you invest into a business, and you know, you kind of have time that you need to decide whether it's time to make money or time to talk about NASCAR. Sometimes it just comes down to the finances, man. But yeah, definitely would love to have Dan back. I said same thing Wednesday on Green White Checkered. You know, anytime you want to come up and sit down and run it again, man, feel more than free. But wish nothing but the best for Dan. And like I said, still look forward to seeing him on Wednesdays up there at Coaches. And just wish him nothing but the best, man.
Yeah, for sure. And yet you spend 2 or 3 minutes with Dan, you start to realize not only is he really good at what he does, but he's also just a great person, great friend as well. Due to the pandemic, haven't been able to hang out with Brandon or Dan as much as I would like to, but you certainly learn that about Dan once you meet him. So, man, once again, you ever want some time on the show, Dan, just let us know. You're always welcome here on Green White Checkered. But as we mentioned, Martin Truex Jr. gets the win there at Martinsville, the first repeat winner of 2021. Didn't necessarily have the dominant car either. He had a strong car all day, but led the last 20 laps there, had a pretty good long run car, battled Denny Hamlin there with about 15, 20 laps to go for the lead. And at the end of the day, he just took advantage of where he was on the track, took advantage of some other people's mistakes. And Martin Truex Jr., our first repeat winner here of 2021.
Yeah, it was we were waiting on that to happen, PJ. You know, we've been watching these races all season, and these big names, you know, some of the bigger names that we expect to have wins or, you know, running contending every week hadn't been there yet. So for Truex to go out and be that first multi-race winner definitely puts him in a really good position for the remainder of the season. You know, he's got, I think, one or two stage wins and a couple wins, and I know he's leading the playoff picture right now. So, yeah, definitely. I didn't know there at one point. I thought we were going to get to that record, man, maybe have 11 different winners in 11 races. It was just, you know, the numbers were there for it to happen. But Truex and JGR went out and got it done at Martinsville, man. But what a great race. I mean, from not only, you know, the action on pit road to the action on the track, but the cautions. And, I mean, it just went on and on. But, you know, like you said, you know, you had Ryan Blaney and Denny Hamlin just absolutely dominating that at the beginning of that race. And, you know, something I wanted to ask you, it's kind of weird to me, and this is what it looked like to me when I was watching, but, you know, it's supposed to be a Saturday night race, you know, had some really bad weather through the area there. They worked really hard, got that track ready to go, raced a few laps Saturday night, red flagged it, turned around, got it going Sunday. So I think a lot of what we saw, you know, Sunday might have been a little bit different had it been Saturday. I know a lot of those guys probably set that car up for cooler temps and a little more grip and a lot of different things that come along with the night race. And then to turn around and have to race it during the day, definitely probably threw some folks off, took them a little while to get the adjustments down and the setup back into the car. But I wanted to get your thoughts on that and see if you thought that played in any factor as far as the handling miscues that some of these teams were having out there.
Yeah, it certainly might have. That's something that stuck out to me all day is normally when you have frustration at Martinsville, it's because of some guy using you up a little bit too much or something like that, not being able to find the room. But for a lot of these drivers, it was not being able to find the grip. And I think, you know, part of that, these cars being set up to run at night, and not only at night, but you start to think about at nighttime, you have more grip, you have cooler temperatures as well, makes the car easier to handle. Then all of a sudden you turn around almost 24 hours later and you're having to race in the hot temperatures, slick track there at Martinsville, sun beating down on you as it was nice weather there at Martinsville. So at the end of the day, you have kind of the exact opposite of what you were expecting. So yeah, I feel like that did play a big part in why everyone had such ill-handling race cars, and especially at Martinsville, a track that not easy to get around. I mean, it's basically two drag strips and two U-turns, right? So not an easy track to get around. Also, not a track you will see such loose race cars, but hey, that's what we had there last week, and it certainly provided for a great show.
Yeah, it was, Martinsville's key, man. You definitely want to be able to roll the center and have that forward bite off. And I tell you, if you can't find that during that race, man, it's going to be an extremely long day there at Martinsville. And we saw it for quite a few guys. And not only that, with what you were saying, PJ, is on top of that, it was supposed to be night, rained it during the day. And I think that's kind of why you saw some different players come on a little bit late. Chase Elliott, for example, was one that, ran decent all day, had a couple, mediocre pit stops on pit road, lost a lot of track position, which at Martinsville, we both know if you do that, sometimes it is really, really hard to get it back. Takes you quite a few laps to get back to where you were, and then on top of that, I think the cooler that it got, later in the race, you started seeing some of these guys that I feel like maybe Saturday night would have had a little bit of a better run, start kind of coming back forward through the field and making some progression, up through the field. But, what another heartbreak for Ryan Blaney in a way, man. I mean, he's gone out, he's got his win this year, which is great at Atlanta, kind of came on late there again, stole that one from Larson. But, to come back to Martinsville and lead and run the way that he ran, battling with Hamlin back and forth through those early stages, and then get down to pretty much that one pit stop and get that air hose hung up, man, and get a penalty and lose all of that track position. That really kind of ruined his day right there. But I was really hoping Truex and Denny Hamlin were going to run side by side for about four or five more laps, man, and maybe give Chase Elliott a chance to get up there and maybe move one of them, which would in turn maybe move both of them, man. That's what I was kind of praying for, but didn't happen, man. But I tell you what an exciting Martinsville race, PJ. Before we came on, we were talking. I mean, this is probably one of the better races. It's definitely, to me, the best race I've seen all season. But probably one of the better Martinsville races we've seen in a while. I mean, just the way that guys were battling, and some of the names that were up there having pretty good runs. You had the William Byron up there having a good run. Bubba Wallace had a really good day going there till the later stages of the race. And even Daniel Suarez again, man. I mean, for the 23XI team with Bubba, and to turn around and watch Trackhouse with Suarez in that 99, and over the past couple of weeks, just the progressions that they've made between that Bristol dirt race we saw and then turning around to Martinsville, that is one thing I love about, short track racing, is the fact that it's almost like a road course race or a super speedway. It's not that mile and a half where you really see the money aspect of the sport come through as much as the driver talent. Sometimes we look at guys and they don't run very well and we're like, oh, well, they don't really have that much talent behind the wheel. And a lot of it is probably they just don't have some of the better equipment. But, what an equal playing field to step onto at a short track. And for those two guys to turn around and have good runs going at both those races, obviously Suarez getting a pretty good finish there at Bristol. And Bubba kind of there again, running really good late, had some trouble and kind of fell back. But to turn around and there again, do it again at Martinsville, man, just shows that those two teams, I think, have a little bit more strength than what people think. And I definitely think it's going to pay off in the future when we get this next generation car going to equal the playing field even a little bit more. So it's not going to surprise me at all if we continue the streak like we had this season and seeing some guys with these first wins or even names that we're not used to seeing up there. Competing. So it's just something that I wanted to throw out there about Martinsville, man. But I read a thing. Martinsville is the only track NASCAR has, I'm pretty sure, since its inception in 1949, that has hosted a cup race every year. Mm-hmm. When I read that, it just kind of blew my mind, man. Yeah. That's a long streak they have going there at Martinsville.
Yeah, a long one and a great one, no doubt about that. Certainly hope not to not see that end anytime soon, as Martinsville, one of my favorite tracks, and again, a great race here in 2021 to start things off there at Martinsville with Martin Truex Jr. getting the victory. Love what you mentioned there, too. Small teams are having big years in 2021. You have Michael McDowell starting out the year winning the Daytona 500. Strong runs from Daniel Suarez with Team Trackhouse and Bubba Wallace with 2311 Racing. Not necessarily getting great finishes, but running well basically all throughout the day in most of the tracks that we go to. So that's something to keep an eye on for sure. As you mentioned, man, Ryan Blaney, again, a race car that could have won there at Martinsville. And he seems to have this happen a lot, right? Where at the end of the day, it was an air hose that got caught beneath the car and he took it out of the box, still came back, finished 11th after leading 157 laps, winning both stages. So I hate to say it, but it feels like he has some of his dad's luck with Dave Blaney kind of always getting in positions like that. But at the end of the day, if Ryan Blaney is able to figure out how to finish these races and not have that bad luck, we're going to be watching him win a ton of races for 10, 11 years to come. But yeah, big race there at Martinsville last week. Big weekend as well, as Junior Motorsports had a huge week there at Martinsville in the Xfinity Series. We'll talk about that when we come back here on Green White Checkered on ESPN Radio. And welcome back. It's Green White Checkered here on ESPN Radio. PJ Zucco, Brandon Bain here with you. As we mentioned, be sure to check out Rubbin' and Grubbin' every Wednesday night at 6 at Coach's Corner. There was some great food, great drinks, whole lot of fun. Share with the community as Brandon Bain gets you ready for each NASCAR race and has all your midweek NASCAR news there as well. And if you can't get to Coach's Corner, be sure to tune into the Facebook live feed at Coach's Corner there or ESPN Radio's Facebook live feed for Rubbin' and Grubbin' every Wednesday night at 6. And a huge weekend there for the Cup Series there at Martinsville last week. The Xfinity Series had a race there Sunday as well that they had to finish that was delayed due to rain from Saturday, and Josh Berry gets the win, his first win in Xfinity Series and the first win in the number 8 there for the first time since 2006 for Junior Motorsports. And Josh Berry, a guy that has been fighting his way up, has been in late models for a long, long time and has dominated at that rank, but just sponsorship dollars, the main reason he hasn't been able to have a ton of races in Xfinity Series. And he comes through, gets the victory, leads 95 laps, and apparently Dale Earnhardt Jr., more emotional, even more emotional than some of his dad's wins and his wins. He was there Sunday for Josh Berry and explained some of that throughout the week. And just interesting to hear about there. But at the end of the day, a team owner that certainly cares about his guys and extremely emotional after Josh Berry was able to get it done in the 8 car.
Yeah, PJ, you know, I mean, that's one of the biggest things about NASCAR as a sport, whether it's the Truck Series, whether it's Xfinity or the Cup. You know, the rides are limited, you know, and there's a lot of talent out there. You know, it's a lot of guys that are out there racing that have a lot of talent, and when and if you get those opportunities and who those opportunities are for, you know, really dictates on where the future of your racing career can go in the sport. So for a guy like Josh Berry, you know, very, very good, like you said, on the late model runs, you know, I know he's like a short track specialist, and finally for him to get in what we consider, you know, a really good piece of equipment in the Xfinity Series and be able to show his talent, you know, probably opens up a lot more doors, not only to maybe future races, but also sponsorship and, you know, going, hey, I can sponsor this guy, maybe go out and get a win. But yeah, with Junior being emotional, man, I tell you what, I think we forget about what kind of person, you know, Dale Jr. is at times. You know, we kind of just look at him as being that Earnhardt, you know, Dale Jr., you know, senior's boy. And you know, the wins and success that he had in the Cup Series and the pedigree that he comes from. But we forget at times the human being that he is as well, man. And, you know, I think he's one of those guys that really pushes for these guys, the younger guys that do not get the seat time or do not get the recognition that they deserve with the amount of talent they have. That is one thing I love for him at Junior Motorsports that he does. And with that being said, there again, they're in the rumor mill, man. There's rumors of, you know, maybe Dale Jr. opening up a Cup team. And for years, you know, he goes, I don't want anything to do with it. I'm completely content and happy right here in Xfinity. This is my home. And now with the new gen car coming out, you know, the questions have kind of been raised again. And reading an article that they had on NASCAR, he just goes, you know, I've always said I would never do it. And he's kind of good. He said, you know, now, you know, I don't know if I will, but if it did, you know, I could definitely see myself doing it maybe, you know, here in the near future, going from a one-car team to hopefully maybe more. And it just kind of really caught me off guard in the surprise. The first name that he said that he would want to drive that car for him was Josh Berry. And when we go back and look, I mean, you look at what Chase Elliott did for him, you know, when he ran for Junior Motorsports a few times, and then you look at what William Byron did for him, and just the amount of talent, you know, I don't want to say it like this, but somewhat a little bit of a farm team for Hendrick in the Cup Series. You know, a lot of talent that is there now has come from JR Motorsports. So I wouldn't be against it. I think it would be great to have, you know, Junior back in the sport as an owner. You know, and there again, I think it's a trend that we're kind of seeing, a lot of drivers becoming team owners. You know, we see it with Denny Hamlin and the Michael Jordan Bubba Wallace car. You know, he kind of moved into that. You know, so why not Junior? And then on top of that, you know, a lot of folks know or don't know, you know, Gordon had stakes in a lot of ownership at Hendrick Motorsport, which I'm sure he still does. So I think it definitely is good for the sport, and the fact that you have team owners that know what it's like to be on the other side of the fence, not necessarily the guy that you know, owns the team and is worried about the sponsors and worried about the outcome of the race in that aspect, but has been behind the wheel and knows the frustrations of the day ins and day outs that come along with being an elite Cup Series driver. So I definitely think it's good for the sport to steer it in the right direction. And like I said, with this new gen car coming out, I think the more actual driver hands, whether they're driving it or whether they're trying to get the setups figured out and the different things that need to be done with this car to make it happen, the more hands and more time you get these guys on it, the better the race is going to be all around. So yeah, really, really stoked to see what happens in the future with JR Motorsports, man. And like you said, what a big win for Josh Berry, and congratulations to him, man. And if he keeps rolling the way he's been rolling, man, the future is going to look pretty bright for him.
Yeah, have already had sponsors and more races come to the plate for Josh Berry. We'll see him more in the Xfinity Series as the year goes on. I think that's something, too. You talk about the Cup Series ride and Dale Jr. potentially owning a Cup Series team. That's something that the success of the Xfinity Series cars and what they've been doing, it's almost forced him into a situation where he can't say no to possibly doing that. They've just had so much success at the Xfinity level, it'd be hard to turn away. I know his sister has been pushing him to own a Cup Series team for a while, so that might be something that we see in the future. But I think that just speaks to also, you see the emotion he had there on Sunday. It speaks to the talent that Dale Jr. has, not only in the car, but outside of it. I think one of his best attributes is finding and developing drivers, and he's been doing this for years, but mainly people want to talk about Dale Jr. as a driver. He is a great team owner and scouter as well for NASCAR. Talent, you see a lot of Cup Series guys that have driven for Junior Motorsports or have that attachment in some kind of way. So I think that is a huge thing that Dale Jr. is able to do and has done in the past, no doubt. So we'll see if that translates into a Cup ownership at some point in the near future. Josh Berry, once again, congratulations to him. He went out there and got it done, and I don't think we've seen the last win from him in the Xfinity Series either. But we'll come back. We'll talk about Richmond for the Cup Series later today. That's when we come back here on Green White Checkered on ESPN Radio. And welcome back. It's Greenway Checkered here on ESPN Radio. PJ Zucco, Brandon Bain here with you. Be sure to tune in also to Rubbin' and Grubbin' there every Wednesday night at 6 at Coach's Corner. Go see it live there with Brandon Bain. Have some great food, great drinks, and a whole lot of fun there with the community. And get caught up with your NASCAR news there midweek, getting set for the weekend there with Brandon Bain. If you can't make it to Coach's Corner, be sure to tune in the Coach's Corner Facebook live feed or ESPN Radio Savannah's Facebook live feed there every Wednesday night at 6 for Rubbin' and Grubbin'. But we're at Richmond today. Dan used to give some great facts about the racetracks that we would go to here on the weekend, so I'll try and do that for you once again with a Dan Foles impersonation for you, as it's the Toyota Owners 400 there at Richmond Raceway, 3 o'clock on Fox. Their green flag about 3:15. Richmond, a three-quarter of a mile D-shaped asphalt racetrack, 14-degree banking in the turns, 8-degree banking on the front stretch, and 2-degree banking on the back stretch. Some big moments to remember in the past. You have Carl Edwards beating Kyle Busch on a last lap pass, bump and run. You have Busch versus Earnhardt Jr. From 2008-2009. Ricky Rudd versus Kevin Harvick back in the early 2000s. How about at the inception of the chase there back in 2004? Jeremy Mayfield had to win the race to point his way into the chase and run for a championship. So some great moments at Richmond. Hopefully we see another one of those history book moments at Richmond later today. But Brandon, give us some guys to look out for today, maybe a dark horse as well, for guys who you're looking to run well, have a good day there at Richmond.
Yeah, man. Well, I'll tell you what, PJ. So doing a little research, man, in the last five races at Richmond, we've only had three winners. Kyle Busch and Martin Truex are pretty much almost equal on this track in the last five races. I think they both have two wins. I think Truex might have one more top five, and Busch might have one more top ten, but those two guys have been dominating. What a weird thing to say with Kyle Busch, right? So, right. You know, if we're looking at five for today, I mean, I'd be really silly not to have somebody that I didn't just mention, but I really think Denny Hamlin, when you look at what he's done over the past seven races, all top five finishes, you know, I think he's got an average finish of like 4.5 or 4.8 right now. He's one of the hottest guys in the sport. And PJ, you know as good as I know, when we talk about NASCAR, it is a very who's hot, who's not sport, a streak sport. You know, when you watch a guy that has in really good runs continuously, consistently, you really know at some point in time they're getting ready to, you know, open up and get the job done and get that win. So for Denny not to have one yet this season, I feel like today could definitely be the day. So that's why I've got him up front. Two for me, no-brainer. Got to be Martin Truex Jr. Coming off the first, you know, multi-race winner of the season. Couple wins in the past five here at Richmond, man. So there again, very easy for him to go out and get the job done today. Three for me is going to be a little bit of a surprise. Kind of a guy that's had a dismal 2021 so far. I wouldn't say it was quite as bad as his 2020, but he's still getting some gremlins worked out in that team, whether it be communication or whether it be setup or whether it be the fact that we've taught numerous times we don't have practice anymore. But I tell you what, Kyle Busch, really look for him to have a nice rebound race today. Don't know if he's going to have what it takes to go get the job done for the win, but you can never count him out. And I tell you what, if he can get the ball rolling in the right direction here at Richmond forward, I feel like they can definitely get the season turned around and there again maybe compete later on in the year in the playoffs for that championship run. Four for me. Man, I tell you what, another guy there again, we talked about having some troubles, having some heartaches. You've got to look at Ryan Blaney again. I mean, it seems like no matter where we go, doesn't matter if it's a mile and a half short track or the speedway package, Ryan Blaney's always up front at some point in time. So there again, as you alluded to, maybe got a little bit of his dad's bad luck going right now, maybe shakes that off today, comes back and maybe is the second repeat winner of the season. So five for me is another guy that we didn't get to talk about last season at this race. You know, I think Kyle Larson, you know, he's got a win there at Richmond, I think, in 2017. There were quite a few runner-up finishes. Obviously, you know, got a win there again early in the season at another D-shaped track. You know, not the Richmond short track, but definitely somewhat of a similar style in a way. So I think that's kind of a guy that a lot of people are going to sleep on today as well. Dark horse picks, I don't really know where to go with it. I mean, I kind of left Brad Kay out of it after the dominating performance he had last fall. So it's not much of a dark horse pick there. So we'll go a little bit deeper in the field, man. I really look for a guy that's been very consistently quiet this year, doesn't have a lot of things being talked about him or said about him the way that he's running and the things he's doing. But Austin Dillon in that three car, man, either one of those Richard Childress cars at that fact, Tyler Reddick as well. But, you know, we got Austin Dillon sitting, I think, 12th or 11th in the points right now, quietly making his way inside that top 10 in the points. So good job by him. But definitely think there again, Richmond could be one of those places. Maybe you see a guy like him or maybe even Tyler Reddick come out and show off some of that, you know, RCR stuff, get it back going, man, and get the ball rolling for that team in the right direction as well. But, yeah, really looking forward to this Richmond race today. Richmond, again, is one of my favorites. To back it up from Martinsville to Richmond, you know, there again, short track, kind of races like a mile and a half, but still has that short track feel. So it's going to be very interesting. I'm pretty sure they're running the 750 horsepower package again there. So it's going to be very interesting to see exactly if we have some momentum from last week carryover for some of these teams, or, you know, do we have some new players that get their act together today and get up front, man. But really, really stoked about today's race. Ready to get it on, man.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to see that without a doubt. For my guys, today I have Martin Truex Jr., number one, coming off that big win and has been very good at Richmond and short tracks the past little bit. 5 short track wins in the last 11 short track races, so Martin Truex has my top spot there. I'll go with Denny Hamlin, number two. Hasn't been as dominant here in 2021, but I feel like he's ready to break through, and Richmond, one of his best tracks, no doubt about that. I'm going to go with Kyle Busch, another Joe Gibbs guy, in my third spot, as he has it just seems like an otherworldly type of average finish there at Richmond over the past 10 races, 6.8, 3 positions better in an average finish than anybody else there on that list. So if there's a track that he can break through and get a victory at, it's here at Richmond. Same thing with Kevin Harvick, a top 10 average finish over the past 10 races and really solid. Hasn't been great in 2021, but again, if there's a track that he can break through at, it's right here at Richmond. Joey Logano as well, great at short tracks, has some wins at Richmond over the past 10 races too. So give me Joey Logano in my fifth spot. A dark horse guy for me. It was in your top five, but just a dark horse because people don't think of him. They think of Michigan or mile and a half tracks, things like that, is Kyle Larson. And you put him in Hendrick Equipment, too, at a top five at one of his worst tracks there last week. Give me Kyle Larson as my dark horse today. But once again, this has been Green White Checkered on ESPN Radio every Sunday from 9 to 9:30. Hope you have, for Brandon Bain, I am PJ Zucco. Hope you have a fantastic rest of your race day. Stay safe wherever you go, and God bless.